Well, this should have been the easiest no-brainer sermon in the world. Justice, are we for it or against it? Let's take a vote and we'll all go to coffee. But then I actually started doing some research, which is always a mistake, and on the issue of justice and social justice, and I just found out that it just isn't true, that not every religion or religious group thinks that it believes in social justice, that social justice has taken on a political tinge and a political leftist tinge, and that, of course, is a very bad thing. And in doing my research, I was looking up traditions on justice and social justice, and I was looking particularly for the tradition that brought us the civil rights movement, with so many clergy of all denominations marching together for social justice, in terms of race, and later on social justice in terms of economics and finance. And I did understand how some conservatives looked at that red church that Fred's parents went to and my cousins belonged to and said, what kind of church is this that believes in feeding the hungry and ending wars and having black and white and brown together? What kind of church could have these kinds of principles? And so I understood that people during the McCarthy era looked at the red church and said, Stephen Fritchman, I don't know, that sounds awfully Jewish to me. Turns out the congregation was largely Jewish, but Fritchman was actually Dutch. So an unreformed Dutchman, as it turns out. And Deutsch, who designed the chalice, even though his name means German in German, was Jewish. So we've been mixed up together for a really long time, and I kind of like that. But sometimes religions get lost. So when I was doing my research, I ran across some mainstream evangelical organizations, and I was shocked, and I'm going to read it so that you know I'm not making it up or paraphrasing it. I was shocked to find out that a large Christian ministry holds, while it appears one is compassionate when the term of social justice is used, we now know where it comes from. You find it neither in the principles of the Bible nor in the U.S. Constitution. So according to this view, justice is not part of either the Bible or the Constitution. This shows our infinite ability to read or not to read, to have, to quote the Gospels, eyes to see or not to see, ears to hear or not to hear, as one is bent. Another side added, there is a liberal, progressive Christian group that claims social justice is part of the gospel. We are not commissioned to transform society and make sure everything is equal. We are called to rehabilitate sinners by the power of God and not government. The gospel is the cure for sin, and it has absolutely nothing to do with social justice. Hallelujah! I am convinced. I am converted. So, whatever you do, I want you not to be involved in social... Do they read their book? Do they read either of the books and understand what they are about? How can you, never mind being a fundamentalist, how can you read the Gospels and not run across little things like it's more difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Which, okay, I understand somebody will tell me that the needle was an obelisk and that it's not quite as impossible as it seems if you're dealing with a sewing needle. But the point was the camels were loaded with caravan stuff. And the holes in even those obelisks were not that big. So he wasn't saying it's impossible for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven, only it was sometimes a tight squeeze. And sometimes, like the camel, you had to unburden yourself of some of the stuff that you're carrying. Well, that seems pretty okay. Now, let's see, what else happened in the Gospels? Oh, yeah, Jesus fed hungry people. Despite being a Unitarian Universalist clergy person, I read the book and didn't just see the movie, read the book, and he never asks for ID. Doesn't seem to care whether you have your green tablet as opposed to card, whether you are licensed to be in that particular area. He even talked about single payer. He even healed people who weren't of his tribe and held people up as an example who healed people and helped people who weren't of their tribe. This is pretty radical stuff. If you have two cloaks, give one to the poor. This is redistributive politics. No wonder these Christians are terrified of Christianity and Jesus. Anybody think that Jesus could get into the Tea Party? His stuff was really radical. It was about brotherhood and sisterhood and peoplehood. It was dealing with people across racial, ethnic, political, and religious boundaries. His sense of justice in the Gospels, whatever you consider the source of the Gospels to be, they're there, they've existed for as 1,700 years at least, close to the present form that we have them. Those Gospels are a radical message of social justice, of how can you love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brother whom you have seen? So I tell you, love one another. Why should this be controversial? Why should the issue of social justice or justice at all be controversial? The core message in the Gospels, in one of the lines in the 60s in the Civil Rights Movement, was people saying, you know, your American justice means just us, meaning white guys. And that was a pretty fair commentary. And the whole idea of justice was to take it from just us and expand our vision. It is not that we shouldn't be just with each other, but the process of human growth, the process of societal growth, is to start small with a baby, maybe in your own family, maybe your own ethnicity, but increasingly not, because we are more and more a wonderful melange. But starting with a baby, because if you can't love a baby, you know, it's going to be really hard to love us when we kind of get old and honorary. Right, Jim? You and me? We understand these things. It doesn't get easier, so you got to start practicing early. And then you expand it from a baby to a person, to a teenager. Now, that's a challenge. When you can love teenagers, you're doing pretty well along that path. And expanding it beyond your biological family to people of other colors, other ethnicities, other religions, other political viewpoints. Nobody in 9/11 stopped to ask for the registration or the green cards of the people in the towers. They helped each other because they were all gray. They were all covered with soot, and they were all in it together. That is a fundamental view of humanity. We're in this together as human beings. And justice is taking that just us and expanding it more and more. It's important that we understand that justice is not simply an idea or an abstraction. Justice is an activity. It's interesting in the Gospel of Matthew 23:23, where Jesus says, there's the law, and there's mercy, and justice, and faithfulness. And those are the most important parts of the law. What happens so often is that people will take a look at the law and say, well, it's the law. We got to follow it. So there's a law on immigration. There were laws against miscegenation. There were laws that prevented gay and lesbians from being together. There's the law, and that's the law, and we're standing on it because you're for the law or you're against the law. And the gospel message is law needs to be tempered with understanding that we're dealing with human beings, with justice. It's there in the book as a higher value than legalism, with mercy, a higher value than legalism, with faithfulness, and that is being faithful to core principles and values and not simply being stuck on the issues of legalism, of how a particular legal code is interpreted today. The religious message is one of examining not simply ourselves and our values, but our laws and our traditions and our customs, and working faithfully to try to create a world that enhances the dignity, our view of the humanity of people across the whole political, racial, ethnic, societal spectrum, so that we see the humanity not simply in our own eyes when we look in the mirror, and not simply in our family photographs, but we see the same humanity shining in the eyes of first children, and then teenagers, and then adults across the world. That is the radical call. And for these people that I quoted, my wife had the best line. She said, you know, the fundamental problem with so many fundamentalists is that they forget the fundamentals. And the fundamental is justice. It's the fundamental of the Gospels. It's the fundamental of the Hebrew Scriptures. Deuteronomy, pursue justice, gives you the implication that justice is retreating, or we're never done. Justice is not something that is achieved and then you put it on the mantelpiece. It's something that every generation and every person is called upon to pursue, because we're never perfect in our view of the humanity of others. In Micah, it says, do justice. Not simply believe in justice or value justice, but do justice. It's not an abstraction. It's an activity that calls upon us to actually act it out, not just say, gee, what a good idea. What if people worked against hatred and war? Good idea. Maybe I'll get around to that after the playoffs are finished, after the final two tomorrow night. I'll get around to justice. Justice is always calling on us to pursue it, because, you know, there are always people who are trying to pick it up and take it away. Anybody here thought that you'd ever run across laws that were trying to make it illegal to collectively bargain? The message, one of the issues that comes up all the time when I'm lecturing on Islam is how much Islam needs to go through the Enlightenment. Islam went through the Enlightenment before the West went through the Enlightenment. And in much of Islam, the light went out. It's not that they need to go through it for the first time. They need to go through it again. And it's a cautionary tale to all of us, because trying to take unions away, trying to make it illegal to teach evolution, trying to stem stem cell research. The lights can be put out. When mainstream, according to cable anyway, mainstream political figures who seriously are presenting themselves for the presidency of the United States say, I don't believe in evolution. We need to talk, people. The lights can be put out. That's part of the pursuing of justice. That's part of the meaning of the flame. That's part of the meaning of the Nir Tamid, the eternal flame above the ark in a Jewish service. The light needs to be tended. Justice doesn't happen by itself. And justice, as I talked about briefly a couple of weeks ago, justice in Hebrew is tzedek, and it's related to the taking of a collection of tzedakah, which is often translated as righteousness or charity. And tzedek, tzedakah, righteousness, charity, are the same root words in Arabic, sadaqah, in the feminine, zakat, in the masculine, and in Amharic and tzedikah. It is about wisdom to know that we are connected with each other, and that our religions at their best connect us in leading better lives, lives of wisdom, lives of service, lives of righteousness, of generosity, of charity, of sharing. Charity, caritas, is love. Many people who go to Christian weddings will note that when they read Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it sometimes says, if you have not love, you have nothing. Sometimes it's translated, if you have not charity, you have nothing. Righteousness, wisdom, charity, love. They all come together, not simply as a feeling, but as an action. Pursue justice. Do justice. As Amos said, let justice roll down like waters. We do not live alone. We do not die alone. We are bound together in a caring community. And our goal as human beings and in this congregation is to expand our reach, our eyes, our hearts, and our arms. Not to erase other traditions, not to make everyone into what we are, whatever our theologies are, but to live together as a model. As a model that we do not have to be on the same page, to have the same kinds of values, that Fred and I could march against each other conceivably with a great sense of respect, because it's about caring about the world and putting our values into action and trying to make a difference. We may argue about when is the time to stand up or sit down. There were arguments about whether Rosa Parks should have sat down when she did. Was that the right time to provoke? There's always a conversation. There are always arguments. It's always the right time to do the right thing according to our lights. To hear others, to take information from others, but ultimately to take the responsibility for pursuing justice, for doing justice. Every Jew believes that he or she is a part of a people and a movement in time. Every Christian believes that he or she is a part of a body of Christ, that they are joined together. Every Muslim, whether Sunni or Shia or Kharijite or Alawite, believes that they are walking the path of the Prophet. Not looking at the path, not believing in the path, but walking the path. That's the job of the religious. To do it with humility, that's the hard part. To do it with sensitivity. To do it with open eyes and minds and hearts. so that our lives, so that our efforts, so that our generosity, so that our values will make a difference.